Have you been wondering how to use social media to build your coaching practice? We're going to talk about it today on Coach's Corner. Welcome to another edition of Coach's Corner for coaches who want more success now. Today's episode is number 71, Marketing from the Inside Out. Today's episode is also sponsored by Marketing Thunder. MarketingThunder.com gets 7 days of full unrestricted access for just $1. When you go to MarketingThunder.com and learn from some of the most amazing trainers in the industry today. All right, we're going to have a little bit of fun today. We're going to talk about social media in a way that you probably haven't heard about it before in terms of how do you build your practice? How do you find new coaching clients? And by the way, without spending a lot of money on advertising, because I know a lot of people get inside, they, well, I don't want to spend a lot of money on Facebook ads. We're going to show you how to do it without spending money on advertising. But before we get into that, I want to give you a free gift. I want to give you my latest ebook, Top 10 Marketing Mistakes and How to Avoid Them. Just go to robertimbrielli.com/top 10. Top and the number 10. robertimbrielli.com/top 10. Okay. Let's talk about our guest today, because she is someone that I have been looking forward to interviewing for some time now, because I know she brings a lot to the table, and today's discussion is going to enlighten you in ways that you probably didn't even realize possible in terms of how to use social media, specifically Facebook, and in order to find new customers for your coaching business. My guest today is Wendy Maynard, and Wendy teaches service-based businesses, business owners, the fastest and most effective way to grow their company to 6, 7, and even 8 figures. She has helped thousands of people over the last 2 decades build highly profitable businesses. Wendy co-founded a multi-million dollar marketing firm, wrote the book Marketing from the Inside Out, and now has her own 6-figure business at wendymaynard.com that focuses on authentic online marketing, creating signature offers, and generating a steady stream of premium clients. And I got to tell you, what she's going to share with you today is great. You're going to take a lot of notes. So, you know, if you're driving, you may want to pull over for a little bit listening to this, or if you're sitting by your computer, open up a notepad or open up OneNote or Evernote or whatever you use, because you're going to want to take some notes. So without further ado, let's get Wendy on board. Wendy, it is just such a pleasure to have you on board today. Thank you so much for taking the time to spend with us today.
Oh my gosh, thank you so much. I'm thrilled to be here.
You know, I was looking forward to this because I was reading your bio and I was reading the information, things that you're doing, and it sounds to me like you have a very, very big, 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 deep background in the area of marketing. And marketing is one of those things that a lot of people struggle with.
Yeah, I do. So I've been on my own as a consultant and coach for the last 2 years, but prior to that, I co-owned a marketing firm, an actual brick and mortar marketing firm, and I was part of that for almost 18 years until I sold my half to my co-founder so that I could just be at home a little bit more with my 2 boys.
That is an awesome story. Yeah, a lot of people do that, and I don't have any kids yet, but if I did, I'd probably want to do that as well.
Yeah.
How do you find working from home, just as an aside? Because I was doing that for a while, and one of the challenges with me is I never knew when to turn it off.
Right. You know, I've learned to create boundaries, and I think having 2 little bosses helps, because they definitely don't like it if I'm in here on the computer. So they'll come in and climb on me. you know, I have a 3-year-old and a 10-year-old. 10-year-old will climb on me just as much as a 3-year-old. But yeah, they keep me in check and they say, hey, it's time for you to be a mommy, not a business owner. So that works, you know, but it has its downsides too. It's less of an issue now that my little one's in preschool, but before that we had a nanny, and you definitely knew I was in here, but you just kind of have to roll with it. I think flexibility is kind of the name of the game.
Yeah, I think you said the right thing. I think setting boundaries, that is the key for a lot of people. And I didn't do that. And it was like, any time I'd have any free time where I'd find myself was sitting back at the desk in front of the computer again. It's like, okay, it's 11 o'clock at night. You think it's time to go to bed? No, you know what? I think I want to write a book and things like that. And I just get started on new projects. And then all of a sudden 2 o'clock in the morning and I'm still going. It's like, I couldn't stop it. It was crazy.
Well, you know, one of the things I also believe in is making sure that we take care of the best asset of our company, which is ourselves as CEO. And so balance is part of that, you know, getting out in the sun, doing fitness, whatever it is that it makes you happy. So just remember to take care of your company's CEO, your best asset.
Absolutely. And it's much easier now being in an actual office suite because I can close the door, lock it, walk away from it. And I can't get back to it until the morning, which is really good for me. It's been one of those things that's helped a lot. Let's talk about coaches, because coaches, in my mind, are oftentimes masters. They're experts at what they do. Certainly, they're masters at what they do. They spend a lot of time learning their craft and honing their craft and getting better and better at it. And oftentimes, what you find is they don't have enough client base because they can't find any customers. And what skill they're missing is really the marketing piece. And that's the one that I spent my entire career working with people in that area as well. It's like, okay, you need the marketing. You're a master. That's great. If you don't want to do the marketing, go find someone to do it. But I know that's your expertise as well. So let's talk about that for coaches specifically. And then I want to talk about social media and how you can leverage social media as a coach to bring in new clients as well.
Yeah, that sounds great. I think you're right. You know, we all go into business with a core area of skill. And I think too few people realize how many different hats they're going to have to wear. The CEO hat, the marketer's hat. If you get into hiring contractors and employees, the HR hat, then your computer goes down. So you've got the IT hat. And it kind of goes on and on. And there's so many different aspects to it. And all of a sudden we make the decision, we're going to become a business owner, but then that doesn't mean we're masterful at things outside of our core area of expertise. And marketing is definitely one of those. I believe that too few people actually understand how much time should be devoted to marketing. And really, I'm a big fan of creating systems because I believe systems, you know, I always say they're a pain in the you know what to set up. But once you have them set up, they give you freedom. And so marketing and sales really should be built upon systems so that you can replicate what you're doing, so that you can create consistency, good repetition, and really build your brand as a coach who is an expert of X and get highly visible. And you do that with systems, which allows you to maximize what you're doing when you're marketing. Because the other thing of marketing is a lot of coaches will go out and just think, well, I need to do some marketing. Right. Everyone says I need to do some marketing, but then they go do some marketing and it's largely ineffective because they're not particularly consistent because they don't have a strategy behind it.
They'll send out an email, and this has happened a lot. I've talked to coaches, and I said, how'd that email work out for you? Well, you know, I'm still waiting. Well, when did you send it out? 6 weeks ago?
Oh.
Uh-huh. What? You know, email within 15 minutes, you know whether or not it's going to work. If you don't get any response in 15 minutes, pretty much it didn't work for you. Work on the next one. Or worse, they start building a list, and then they get panicked about sending email out.
Exactly.
Well, right. I never send an email. It's like, I've got 30,000 people on my list. Well, when's the last time you emailed them? Well, I never have.
Oh, no. What's the point of that list?
What's the point is exactly right. But they're fearful and, overcoming that. So marketing, I think we could start by laying a little bit of a foundation for people because they don't understand what it is. Ask anybody to define the word marketing. Right. And you're going to get a different response from anyone you speak to. Right.
Well, my definition is pretty simple. I believe marketing is building relationships with people and then nurturing them over time.
Mm-hmm.
And so
I'm writing that down, by the way.
Well, good. Well, I mean, it's really quite simple. And you're just making a whole bunch of friends is the way that I look at it. People think of marketing as and sales as this big, scary thing, but it really doesn't have to be. You're just making a bunch of friends. So it's kind of the same as if you were going to a potluck. You didn't know everyone there and you were, you know, getting to know people and letting them get to know you.
You did that. And that's how we met.
That's right.
You reached out. You said, hey, I'm open to be interviewed on a podcast. Anyone want to do it? And I said, let's do it. And yeah, that's how we connected. I think we were already friends on Facebook, though, prior to that. Or were we?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think that's another good point is, so as you build relationships, and relationships are really everything, right? I mean, people are people. People like to have community. That's sort of a driving force of ours. You look all across the world and throughout history, people build relationships and community. And even if you look at, I actually believe that the whole corporate structure is just humans creating a complex new type of relationship, right?
Yep.
How can we be in a different relationship, right? So there's all these different types of doing that. But I think the thing that's really important to understand about marketing, particularly on social media, is there is so much what I call content vomit out there. And it's
quitting that, right?
You know, people love it, right? I've said it before. People love it, but it's true. People go and they just vomit out content with no strategy, with no consistency, and really not even providing a ton of value. It's just like, again, it's this idea of like, oh, I have to go do Facebook. And I say that because when you go do, or I have to go do some blogging, I mean, it just doesn't, there's, when you don't have strategy and an intention behind it, like, It should be a vehicle to get you from here to there, wherever there is and wherever you set your goal. And too few people think of that. And so a much better way to look at it is, you know, I'm going to start using Facebook to build an audience, to get known as the expert coach in X, to connect with influencers. And I'm going to land 6 clients a month at 5K so that I can get to, and I don't know what the number is because I'm not doing all the math, but 200K by the end of the year, whatever that is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the average coach earns, you wouldn't believe the statistic. It's scary. Under $40,000 a year.
Oh my goodness.
Now, so, I don't know about you, but in Southern California, that's poverty.
Yeah, I live in Oregon and it's not the cheapest town, but, you know, kind of compared to California prices, yes, but... not compared to, you know, the Midwest.
Right.
Whole West Coast is pretty expensive.
Yeah. And $40,000 a year, you're not cutting it. You're just, if you want to have a family, you want to get a house. There's just not enough money there. And I think largely it's sad for me in a lot of ways, because I look at these coaches and I say, man, they have such great skills. And you look at society in general, and you look at all the people out there who could use the help and they can't find the coach. Well, that coach who's not marketing themselves might be the perfect fit, but nobody knows about them. They're like the world's best kept secret.
Right.
And
that's right.
Experience here, because I've been that way too. I've been the world's best kept secret at what I know. And like getting out there, you know, it wasn't easy at first, but then I started to do it more and get in front of people. And all of a sudden the ball starts to roll.
And now look at you. You have a podcast. So let's use your podcast as an example, because I think something like a podcast is a perfect example. And we'll take this to social media, but mm-hmm. I think it's something that you can talk about. So I was reading some statistics the other day. Do you happen to know how many podcasts don't make it, like, more than a certain number of episodes?
Most of them.
Yeah. So most of them, they only put out a few episodes 10, or
20 episodes and then they're done.
And so, you know, in talking to some different folks about podcasts, what it takes to really build momentum is showing up again and again and again and again. And the most successful podcasters have hundreds and hundreds of episodes, right? And there's still an awful lot of room to be a top podcast. And I mean, if the only thing you do is show up again and again and again, you're already head and shoulders above the rest, because
the fallacy here too is that you don't necessarily need to be the top podcast. You need to be the top podcast for your group, your tribe.
Right.
And that's it. You don't have to be number one on Apple. I mean, it's just like, it's not something you need to shoot for. There's only enough room for a set number of those. And unless you're doing a lot of entertainment stuff, you're not going to get there. But it's okay, because if you've got content and you've got raving fans, maybe 100 people listen to your podcast, maybe it's 1,000. That is enough. That's all you really need.
That's great. And mm-hmm. and I think the same thing is true of social media. So if you're a coach and you're looking to get known, then consistency and repetition and positioning are really the name of the game. So you want to think about, how am I positioning myself? What am I going to get known for as the go-to expert of X? And so I see a lot of coaches making a couple of huge mistakes. The first is that they sell packages of sessions, but it's very nebulous as to what they're offering.
Right.
And the key is really to be results driven. So work with me for 8 weeks. And at the end of 8 weeks, you will have improved your relationship with your spouse, whatever it is, you know, if you're a relationship coach, work with me in, you know, over 12 weeks. And at the end of that time, you will have, you know, you will have more energy and you'll see, you know, lose at least 10 pounds and you'll like the way you look better, whatever it is. That's like for a fitness coach. And I don't have the, you know, the exact line, but you really want to have a result that you're putting yourself out there so that someone has something to grasp, and you want to position yourself as the expert in whatever that is. You want to own that. That's really your hook. And a lot of people don't like this, right? We talk about a niche a lot. So a niche is the demographics and psychographics of the people that you focus on. But I think beyond that, I call it your one thing. Like, you have to have your one thing that you get known for. And that maybe is not such a creative title, but you will have a lot more leverage on social media and really in your marketing in general if you position yourself as the expert of that one thing. So like life coach is a great example. Life coach is so broad, and you could probably get people nutritional results. You could probably get people relationship results. You could probably get people career results. There's so many things you could be doing, but you will never get known for that because, you know, you're so diluted that nobody knows really what you do, and people cannot talk about you. So if people can't talk about you, they can't refer people to you.
So you look at the general doctor, what do they call them?
Primary care providers?
Primary care, the doctor who kind of does everything, right?
The family doctors?
Yeah, they never get very wealthy. Who gets wealthy is the one who specializes, the brain surgeon. You know, I can do brain surgery, I can do heart surgery. And it's like those guys make a whole lot more than a general practitioner makes.
Right? Yeah, specialists always make more money than generalists. Yeah.
So and that's the idea when you're talking about life coaching. That's exactly it. That's the generalist. It's like, I act life coaching, I can push you along a little bit. You're never going to make a lot of money doing that because nobody can hire you because you're really not the expert in anything. Right. You're broad, and I'm like that. I've got a lot of skills in a lot of different areas, and it's broad, but I can't market that because that doesn't, you know, it's like, what are you known for? Everything. No, you can't be known for everything. What's the one thing? You know, and people hate that because they feel like, oh my gosh, I'm going to be trapped. I'm going to be gassed. You know, I'm always going to be that guy. I'm always going to be Batman, you know, because I played that role once and that's it. And I don't think that that's true. I think you can move beyond that.
Yeah. And so like, let's sort of look at that, like what you can do kind of as a next step. So you pick your one thing, and I know nothing about keto, but I know it's a thing. So let's just pretend you are the fitness coach who is all about keto diets, right? Mm-hmm. And whatever the results are, again, I don't know anything about it other than it's popular right now. But what's also important is to take a stand for what you believe in and to take a stand for what you are against. And people are scared to do this, but you actually want to push away a whole bunch of your audience, because you will magnetize a small percentage of your audience. And the people that you magnetize, if you're a bit polarizing, they will love you. And you want people to love you, and you want people to hate you too, because you don't want to dilute your message. And so this is something that people find really scary. But let's say you are, you know, you are the keto diet expert, right? And that is your one thing. And so you might take a huge stand. You probably would take a huge stand against veganism, right? I think it would be really hard to eat keto if you were vegan, because I think it's all protein and meat, fat-based,
right?
So you need to probably do some rants about veganism and why it doesn't work if people want to lose weight and get more fit. And people are scared to do that, right? Because, oh, I don't want to piss people off. But I think that's actually important.
You're so dead on about that. You know, I've had experiences of doing that kind of thing, the controversial approach to whatever the topic is. And you look at the engagement on social, or you look at the engagement in email, and it's like tenfold what it would be if you're pro something. Oh, you got to do this. This is the way to do it. This is the way to do it. This is the way to do it. And instead of coming out, and I had worked with a sales coach years back, and he said, you know, how to become a millionaire in sales without the sucker punch. And it was so brilliant, because that's exactly what people didn't want. You know, it's like, oh, I don't want to do that sucker punch. I don't want to be that used car salesman guy. And it's like, he ranted against that and how horrible that was. And why all the sales training out there was about that, and that you're being trained wrong, and I have a better way. Yeah. And people just like ran to him because of that.
Yeah. And I think that is so important. And then the other thing is, when you're on social media, if you're controversial, people will make a lot of comments, either being for or against what you're saying. And so, you know, let's be honest, working the algorithms are kind of the name of the game. And so the more comments and engagement that you get on your posts, even if you're rubbing people the wrong way, that's going to knock your post up to the top of the feed again and again.
Yep.
And so that is actually a good thing.
Admission, Mindy. That alone was worth the price of admission.
People, there you go.
Yeah, no, absolutely. You're dead on accurate.
And then the other thing is really being consistent. And I always like to recommend to my clients, like, start on one platform where your clients are and that fits your personality. And so, you know, that might be LinkedIn, that might be Facebook. Those tend to be my favorite places to be. Although, you know, if you're a person who just loves video and never wants to type a word, then maybe YouTube is your place, right? It is possible. But the key is, wherever you are, you need to show up again and again and again. And what I always recommend is that people actually carve out time to work on their marketing on a daily basis. And so you schedule that in your calendar, and you make it part of, this is the system, right? You have a systematic approach. You are on there every day. And so there was this one woman, and I'm going to just give you this example. She, I won't even say what she did, but she was in my Facebook group, and she was lamenting how she really wasn't making any money and had no clients. But she thinks that most of her clients are on LinkedIn. I said, great. Well, you need to get on there daily. You need to do, you know, some short form and long form posts, probably do videos. You know, I just gave her some recommendations. Right. And you need to reach out and connect with 10 to 20 people a day. And so I gave her this great sense of, you know, this great list of recommendations. And her response was like, wow, that sounds like a lot of work. I don't think I want to do that. And so my thought, I didn't respond to that. But, you know, he's like, yeah, that's a lot of work. But right now, you're not working on client stuff because you have no clients. So what are you doing with your time?
Exactly.
And if you're not in a place where you have enough clients, then all of your time should be spent marketing.
Yeah. And that's one of the things that I bring up a lot too. It's like, well, what percentage of your time are you spending on marketing? And people go, well, I don't spend much on marketing, maybe an hour a week kind of thing. And I say, why don't you spend more? Well, I don't really know what to do. I said, well, in your marketing time that's in your schedule, that's what you're asking. You're trying to figure out what to do. And if you don't know, you start asking questions. Ask me, ask anybody. You know, I always give my email address in every podcast that I do. I'm very public. My email address has been the same now since 1999, and nobody ever emails.
Interesting.
It's like, why not reach out? Why not ask? You know, the worst they're going to say is, you know, I can't answer that unless you're a client, because it's a little bit more involved. Or, you know, here's a link to an article that'll help you. You know,
right. You know, and people were, I actually got booked on something like 15 podcasts through, I think, like three posts that I put out. I put one on LinkedIn, I put one on Facebook, and then I put one in a group. And that got me 15 guest spots on podcasts. And sometimes people think like, oh, well, okay, so a couple things about that. One is, people, you know, could look at my content and look at some of my videos, because I have them. But the thing is like, people think that putting themselves out there and you know, trying things. They don't do it because they're too scared. Well, I think that that was pretty amazing result, but it was pretty simple, and it just had to do with me actually being willing to ask.
There was two parts to that, because when you ask, the first thing I did is went over to wendymaynard.com, right? And the first thing I look for is a video. I want to see, how do you show up on video? This is a video podcast. How do you show up on video? Do you have the equipment? Do you have the lighting? You know, some people, it's like they don't, and it's horrible. Right. It's like, oh, that'd be a horrible guest for me. But I looked at you and I said, you know, you got that nice background. Your lighting is nice and even. You've got a nice microphone. You've got a nice camera presence. Yeah, let's do an interview.
Awesome. Yeah. So that's another benefit of consistent marketing. And so I don't know how many clients have come to me and said something like, oh, I've watched all your videos and read all your blog posts. I definitely want to work with you. And so marketing not only works in the now, like when you're actually like, I'm going live right now, right? But it also works as an accumulation of credibility. And so, you know, I'll just go back to my, I don't know why I keep doing this keto fitness coach, is just what popped into my head. But let's say someone was thinking about hiring you to help them lose weight and get started on a, you know, keto diet and program. And you have a ton of videos about how great keto is, about your methodology, about your approach, about what you like and you don't like. They watch all those and they think, wow, this person is really an expert in keto, right? That's your one thing. You have marketed yourself again and again. And the more you market yourself, the easier that it gets to get clients.
Yeah, then they look at all that and they say, you must be an expert in this because you keep talking about it, You must know something. Even better, if you want to take that one step further, write a book on it.
That's
and
right.
People, oh, a book is so hard. It's so hard. Yeah, can you write 50 pages? Because that's good enough, you know, and you could publish it as a PDF. I mean, it doesn't have to be hard.
Yeah. I have my book. I have a book. It's Marketing from the Inside Out.
Yes, that's why I titled this podcast that exactly. That was the title for this podcast.
Yeah, and you know, the marketing from the inside out. So I wrote that when I was at the marketing firm. It's actually a little bit more tailored towards larger size companies, but there's a lot of great information that can help everyone. But it's really about getting clear first on your mission, your values, and your vision, and then, you know, building a culture that is remarkable, giving remarkable client service, having a message that you're putting out there and positioning. So, but it's really starting from the inside. And it's really the same thing that I'm talking about right now. So who are you? What do you want to get known for? How are you positioning yourself? And then once you're clear on those things, then you just, you know, you say that again and again and again.
Exactly. And you know, like I said, when someone comes to your website, they see a consistent message and they go, well, you must be the expert. And how do I hire you? How do I work with you?
Exactly. So,
wow, it's so hard to get clients. Well, sure. Look at your website. Look at how people are seeing you. How are you showing up online? How are you showing up in social? Right.
Right. Yeah. And I think social media offers a tremendous opportunity for coaches. And I think so few are actually leveraging it correctly, in that they're very sporadic. They don't have a consistent message. And they think that one or two posts in a group are, you know, going to get them clients. And it's simply not true. And so, you know, it's interesting. I was just actually talking to a person who is an expert at marketing in Facebook groups. So not his own, but other people's Facebook groups. And he was talking about his methodology, which is you go in and you post regularly, you give helpful tips, and then you make sure that you answer people's questions, you engage with other people's comments. He said it's not a short game, it's a long game. But after a while, what happens is not only do people start reaching out to you, but people start tagging you as the expert in your one thing.
Absolutely true.
So that is magical when other people start to know you and tagging you for your expertise. Oh, so Robert, you need to get in here because this is your area. That's magic.
Yeah. Absolutely. You need to answer this question, or, you know, this is perfect for you, or yeah, absolutely. And I think a lot of people don't do the consistency thing because of the lack of results. And they don't recognize that the lack of results is because of the non-consistency. So I do a post in a group and I wait and I keep waiting and I keep waiting. Ah, that didn't work. I go on to something else.
Right. That's a great point. So whatever you pick, you know, pick one or two things and then do them and do them and do them and do them. And it's going to take you a while. So I always talk about this, it's like pushing a snowball up a hill, right? It is so much work. It's so much work. It's hard. It's hard. It's hard. And then you get to the top of the hill and you get over the top and now it's not work and you're gaining snow and it's got momentum and it's going. And almost everything, actually, I don't think I can think of an exception. So everything I think in building a business is like that. And most overnight successes, it's taken them years to become an overnight success.
Exactly.
You just don't see that part.
No, you don't see it. What you see is when they finally hit that critical mass where all of a sudden now they're getting known. But you didn't see how long it took for them to get there.
I was just listening to I don't know if it was on her own podcast or if it was an interview, but something by Rachel Hollis. And she wrote the popular, you know, there's a couple popular books that she's written, Girl Wash Your Face and Girl Stop Apologizing. So she was talking about becoming a best-selling author. And it was her sixth book before she got leverage. And she has a journal where she would write her dreams down. And one of them was, I am a best-selling author. Well, talk about commitment and consistency. You know, people are like, oh, Rachel Hollis, like, she's so amazing. And look how many likes she has on her book. And look at all these big stages she's speaking on and, you know, whatever, whatever. Well, her sixth book, that is consistency and commitment to a dream.
They always say, how do you sell, you know, your book? Is you write your second book and that's how you sell your first book.
There you go.
Right? It's really true. Yeah. You got to keep going at it. If that's your thing, if you're going to do that, then you got to keep publishing. And, you know, it's that commitment to it. You're right. That raises people to that next level.
Yeah. And so in that same interview, she used, I think she was quoting Dave Ramsey. And he said something like, well, people look at me now and they say, oh, you are just amazing. And you're standing on this mountaintop. Well, what they don't realize is that mountaintop is actually made of failures. So I love that metaphor. Like we make a lot of mistakes along the way, but that is okay. It's actually okay because those are all steps towards where we want to go. And so too many people don't commit to their dream strong enough. And I think marketing is really part of that.
Yeah.
You know, so if you want to have consistent clients coming in, if you want to have $1 million business, whatever it is that your goal is, you need to commit to getting yourself out there. But it's a marathon. It's not a sprint. And sometimes I think it's like an endurance marathon, you know, this crazy 50K or whatever, 100K mile runners.
Yeah, a lot of people will get dissuaded, I think, by what we've done in the marketing community. We've always, you know, highlighted that one person who just wrote one headline or created one funnel or wrote one book. And there's always that story, right? That we tell, that the person went from rags to riches. He was broke. He was homeless. He was living on Venice Beach. And all of a sudden he decided to write a book and boom, millionaire, right? And we always hear that story. So we get the idea that that's the way it's supposed to look. And when it doesn't look that way, we go, well, I'm a failure.
Right.
You know?
Well, you know, you just mentioned funnel, and a business friend and I were joking about the just one funnel away, which is Russell Brunson's tagline. Now, he's a brilliant marketer, right? And he's built his empire, and I'm sure he would readily admit that he has had a lot of failures. But the funny thing about just one funnel away is what that doesn't reveal is how many times you're creating funnels that don't work. You might be just one funnel away from your $1 million. However, you may have 100 or 200 funnels that you tried that didn't work. So your one funnel, it's like that same idea of standing on a mountaintop of, you know, that's on failures or not failures, but things that didn't work as well as you wanted them to.
Well, and I think that tagline comes from Ted Nicholas when he said, you're just one headline away from becoming a millionaire.
Okay.
Early on. Yeah, same idea. And, you know, he was very clear that you've got to keep writing headlines. And in fact, when he was talking about writing sales letters back in the day, he says you write a minimum of 100 headlines before you settle on one.
And that's just for one article, right?
Well, yeah, one sales letter, exactly. And it's like, nobody's going to do that. But the ones who are committed will do that. And they'll test the top three, top five, whatever it is, and they'll settle on the one that's working. You know?
That's great. Yeah. So I, you know, if there's any takeaway from anyone who's listening to this, that is just be consistent and do not stop. Don't quit on your own dream and don't bounce around. Like, commit to one thing. And I always liken it to someone's like the, you know, the guy in the circus or spins a bunch of plates. So it takes a lot of effort to get that first plate spinning, right? But once you've got it spinning, you just have to get a little push. And then you can add in your second marketing system. Get that one going. Give the first one a little push. Get that one going. When you got two, you can add in a third. So whatever those systems are, layer them on top of each other, systematize, operationalize each one, and then layer it on. And so don't go out there and try to blog and be on Facebook and be on LinkedIn and, you know, be on podcasts or start a podcast and do them all at the same time. Like that's a recipe for complete failure. Not like the kind of failure that you use to get on top of mountains, but just you're going to overwhelm yourself. You're going to do them all and quit because you just did too much at once.
Yeah. And you don't have time for anything else if you're doing that too. That'll eat up all your time. So let's talk about you.
Okay.
Let's make this about you here. What is it that you're doing right now and how can people leverage and work with you?
Yeah. So my website is at wendymaynard.com. And so I work with coaches. I have my primary way. I do a limited amount of one-on-one. The primary way that I help folks is I have a group coaching program. It's called Business Profit Formula. And I show people exactly what we're talking about. So how to become an amplified expert, how to use social media organically to build up a presence, how to get consistent clients, and then really how to scale their business to multi-six or even seven figures, if that's where they want to go. I don't always like to say that because not everybody wants that size of a business, but we all want, you know, we all want those 20K, 30K, 40K, 50K months. Then some of us want the 80 to 100K months, but it's all possible, but it's really about weaving in systems to the fabric of your organization. It's really about getting clear on your area of expertise. It's about learning organic marketing systems. And then once you're clear on that, if you want to add in paid advertising, sure, like do that. But get really good at the systems and the especially marketing and sales that are going to attract clients and then convert them.
You hit on something important that people should know. I you know, always coming back from my marketing background and such, we always talked about copywriters and people writing sales letters and such. And it's not that hard to fathom that kind of a person making $1 million or more in a year. And I think for coaches, I see a lot of coaches hitting that seven-figure mark. And I don't think it's beyond the reach of any coach who really dedicates himself to marketing and really puts the systems in place and does the consistency and focuses on one message. You know, if you're doing those things, we know it works because we look around you. There are a lot of coaches who are doing $1 million or more a year.
Yeah. And I think the key is really knowing how to leverage your time. So a lot of coaches, again, they do that. Like, I'm going to bundle up some sessions and sell them. Well, you're never going to hit $1 million by trading your time for dollars. It just doesn't work. And so that's where group coaching comes in. That is where you can have some done for you, you know, or do-it-yourself types programs. I'm not a big fan of that unless it's an offshoot of your group coaching and feeds into your expertise, or it's a downsell. So I have a specific methodology. And then my other big thing is having some sort of upsell where you're getting recurring revenue on an ongoing basis, which is where a lot of people fall short because they don't think about how their whole, what I call a service delivery map, how it all fits together. And then a lot of people are like, well, oh, I'm going to have a 37 $1 ebook on mindset, and I'm going to have a $47 program on fitness, and I'm going to have a, you know, $147 course on relationships or whatever. And it's like, no, you're doing the same thing with your programs. Your programs also need to be built around your one thing. And right. people spread themselves too thin on their marketing. People spread themselves too thin with their offers. But you can really have two to three really incredible offers, and you can build $1 million business around that.
Yeah, no question. And you know, the idea of a funnel is an accurate description, because really what you want to do is you want to bring them through step by step by step by step. And if you have stuff that's disjointed all over the place, then your customer is not going to do this. They're going to be interested in this ebook, and they're going to come through. Okay, what else you got? Nothing? Okay, I'll go find somebody else.
Right, you know? Right. Yeah. And so there's so many things that you can do, but again, it all needs to be based on your vision of your company and then your strategy of how you put the pieces together.
You are amazing.
Oh my gosh. Thank you. That's
so lovely. So blessed to have you here today and sharing this with us.
I'm so blessed to be here.
Yeah. I had a lot of fun, and I want to thank you for being here. We're going to edit this all up and make it look really pretty and make sure your web address is on there, wendymaynard.com, and hopefully people will go visit. Is there anything on your website that they can kind of try out, a free ebook, a free this, or something that they can get to kind of get their feet wet with you?
Yeah. So I have a webinar that people can watch, and it's just right on the homepage.
Okay.
You'll see, I think it's an orange button, and you'll see it. And that is one place they can go. And I also have a Facebook group. If people want to ask me questions directly, that's probably the best place. The easiest way to get there is businessprofitengine.com. It just has a redirect, and it'll take you right to the group. Hit join and become a part of our community. We have a lot of really smart people in there. So,
or they can get it on wendymaynard.com. Just hit the community button on the menu, and it goes right there, which is the easiest thing I found.
That too. Yes.
Awesome. Thank you so much for being here, Wendy. I really appreciate
it. Thank you so much. It's been an honor and privilege.
Well, I hope you enjoyed that little conversation with Wendy. I think that was really helpful. I don't know about you, but I got a whole page of notes here of all kinds of things that I'm going to put into action in my own business, my own practice, to find new clients for myself as well. Very, very easy stuff to do. You know, like she said, you got to be consistent. You got to use systems. You got to know what to do. And if you don't know what to do, that's the first thing that's on your list. Figure out what to do. If you want to reach out to me, you're certainly welcome to, as I mentioned before, robert@ultimatewealth.com. Same email address now since 1999, and you reach out, just send an email, send a question, and let me know what you're struggling with or what you need help with, and I'll be happy to help you there. All right, thank you so much for watching. We're going to do this again next week. I have another great guest for you lined up, and I hope you'll not only join us, but also subscribe to the podcast. Thanks so much.